All right, Acts chapter 5, our continuation of our message this morning, the ministry of the apostles, the ministry of the apostles. In Acts chapter 5, here, and I mess this guy's name up all the time, but I'm going to try not to mess it up this time, but you'll understand what's going on. The apostles have been called on the carpet for preaching the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been threatened. They've been captured and such as that. And the Pharisees, the leadership there in the Sanhedrin of the Jews are looking what to do about the apostles. And this Gamaliel, he's a doctor of the law. He's the man, and we understand that the apostle Paul, Saul, sat under as a young man, as a child maybe even. In his school, he gives advice, and it's great advice. It is true. If this isn't of the Lord, it won't amount to anything. But if it's of the Lord, you won't be able to fight against it. And I tell you what, that can be said for. I mean, that is a good advice. The brethren are there, and so we read here. Let's just pick it up in verse number 38 of Acts chapter 5. The ministry of the apostles, and now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to them they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. So our brethren here, the brethren that are the apostles, Peter, and of the other of the apostles that they had there or that they took, they held them. They determined and just tried to decide what to do. They listened to the advice of this wise man here amongst them. And so then they took them, and what does it say? They beat them. They beat them. Now, I've been in a couple fights in my lifetime, in my youth, and fights are never pretty. And I don't recommend fighting at all. But I've never been beat. I've never been beat. I've never been beat to a pulp. We've all known some people that have been. Probably somewhere in your life you saw somebody that really got tangled up with somebody they didn't belong tangled up with. And these brethren were beaten for the cause of Christ. They thought that would be the threat that would get them to zip their lip. That's what their expectation was. That was the threat that they put on them. Don't speak in the name of Jesus anymore. We see in verse number 41, however, and they departed from the presence of the council, that is the apostles, and rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And understand what they're teaching and preaching. They're teaching about Jesus Christ. All things emanating, all things radiating, all things coming from and focusing to Jesus Christ. May we never forget the one that we serve and the one that we worship, the one that we seek to obey is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our head. He is our leader. And we need to always follow him. They did not take the beating and let that affect them, did they? But they sought yet to obey the Lord. And see, listen to what they said. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Our pursuit of obeying the Lord Jesus has brought a condemnation even from our brethren down on us, just like it did our Savior. They esteemed getting the beating for doing what's right. Now, there's some people that have a persecution complex. I've known some men that like to go out and get people riled just for the sake of being abused so they can claim that they're being persecuted for Christ. That's not honest. Okay, this was honest. They just sought to do what the Lord would have them do. And if nobody came around to beat them, they'd be just fine with that and keep on doing that. But these in this case, were beaten, and in that they were rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer that shame for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They, the apostles, being the Lord's first ministers in his church, I present to you and submit to you that they were used up for our sakes. Think about that. These apostles, these men being the Lord's first ministers, we've read that this morning, how the Lord placed first in the leadership of the church the apostles, that they were used up for our sakes. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Here I believe the apostle deals with this. The church at Corinth was a result of the ministry of the Lord, of the apostle Paul, by the Lord Jesus and his work in him and using him. There were those in Corinth that had been saved, and if my memory serves me correctly, it tells us in the book of Acts that the apostle Paul was there in Corinth for a year and a half. He was there a long time. Other places like Thessalonica that we looked at recently, he wasn't there very long, it doesn't seem. But in Corinth, he was there for some time. And there were many that were saved, or those that were saved, and a church was established there. And in time passed by, this church has trouble, has problems. The apostle loves them. He refers to them and reminds them in these epistles to the church at Corinth that they are, he is their spiritual father. He said, you've got a lot of instructors in Christ, but you don't have many fathers. I said, the Lord used me to carry the word to you, and in that sense, you were birthed from my ministry, speaking spiritually. He loves them. He desires them. He wouldn't spend time on them if he didn't. And he's dealing with them in one aspect about their consideration of whether he has authority to deal with them and speak to them in the way that he does. Should they listen to him or not? Should they... Are there those maybe going about there at Corinth that say, well, you know, the apostle's passe. I mean, he's done. It's over with. His work was here at the beginning when he came amongst us. But now, you know, we don't have to listen to him. We don't have to judge or to determine that he has authority over us. But as an apostle, he did. And he sought their welfare. And in this, he speaks in this fourth chapter of this first epistle about what it is to be an apostle, what it is to be a minister of the Lord. And this is an example. Every man that would consider and believe that he is called of the Lord to the ministry, to the gospel ministry, to work as a preacher, to be a pastor, to be a missionary, it would do well to count the cost relative to these passages. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. They tell about it. The apostles, the ministers, and the preachers of the Lord, the apostles are an example to us about what we need to be willing to do with our lives for the sake of the calling of Christ. And it is, of course, a good example to all of us being members of the church. But let's read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let a man so count of us, verse 1, as of the ministers of Christ and as stewards of the mysteries of God. Stewards of the word of God. We've got a dispensation of the Lord, a stewardship of the Lord to carry the word of God right. You know, I don't want to hurt people in correcting people when they come to me about what they think about the word of God or what they think about what the scripture says, about what's going on in their life and claiming a certain passage or such as that. I've got a responsibility as a preacher and a pastor of God to tell you what's right. And I don't want to seem like I'm one that's always quick to correct or quick to jump on a thing. I want to do that well, and I want to balance that right. But I'm a steward of these mysteries of the word of God. And I've got to tell you what I'm convicted of the Lord that they mean. We run in, and we've dealt with it even recently, where the word of God is misunderstood and misapplied. And the truth has got to be told. The truth has got to be told about it. And that's a responsibility that a minister has. The people of God, we have that responsibility. Moreover, it is required in stewards, verse 2, that a man be found faithful to it, faithful to the calling, not what the calling will bring, not what can benefit the man by being in the calling, but faithful to the calling and the work of God. But with me, verse number 3, and here's him dealing with them in particular, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. He says, you're trying to make a determination or seek to make a determination whether you should listen to me or not. That's not the issue at all. I'm not worried about being judged of you, whether you think I'm an apostle or not, whether you think I have any authority over you or not. He said, it's not that he's apathetic, but that's not the point. That's not the thing to be done. The thing to be done is that they should listen to him. He said, of man's judgment, maybe those outside of the church, it doesn't matter what the law thinks about me as an apostle. It doesn't matter what the world thinks about me as a man called of God to be a minister unto the saints of the Lord and to be a witness unto other men, unto the lost and to the unsaved. He says, yea, I judge not mine own self. He doesn't wrangle with it because he knows he's called of the Lord. Scripture tells us, is it not in Ephesians? I think it is Ephesians or Galatians, to make our calling and election sure. We need to make sure and we need to do checks. Are we saved? Are you saved? A man of God needs to make sure that he's called of the Lord. And when he's called of the Lord, he needs to go on in that calling and be faithful to the Lord in it. He said, it's too late, if you will, to determine whether I've got any authority or responsibility over you, church at Corinth. I do, and you need to listen. You need to listen. And he's not harsh about it here, but listen to this. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord, and that's who we all answer to, is the Lord. We have a responsibility one to another in the church, indeed, but it is our accountability is ultimately with the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. See, one day, the deception and the cloak of anything that's not truthful and right is going to be ripped off. And the apostle knew that he was called of the Lord. And the apostle knew that he was doing what the Lord would have him to do. And he had confidence and he has peace and he had rest and assurance in that. It says in the previous chapter, the scripture says in verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he have built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. See, it's going to be revealed. Remember what we read recently about what David said in Psalm 32. Blessed is the man whose iniquities are covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, whose sins are covered, to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Blessed is the man in whose spirit there is no guile, no deception. This whole thing of salvation and service of the Lord, membership in his church is not about deception. It's not about a facade. It's not about fakery. It's about truth. Salvation by the Lord of the soul, a calling of the Lord into the Lord's church by baptism and being a member of his church and serving him there, and then the ministers of the Lord being called by the Lord to serve him. It's not about us faking out one another and making one another feel that we're religious and to put on a show, but it's about the calling of the Lord and they're being brought together and called together by the Lord in the service of the Lord in truth. That's what it's all about. And he said, it'll be declared. And he says, I know I am an apostle and saved by the Lord and called of the Lord to this work. Verse 6, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes. He says, I want you to understand that I'm nothing by myself. Okay. He said, I've transfigured to myself to apostles for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for that you no one of you be puffed up for one against another. He says, We are who we are, called by the Lord and sent unto you. There are those in the church there that are seeking evidently to boast and to even withstand the apostle in his dealings with the church at Corinth. He says, take a look at what's happening. Take a look at the ministry. Take a look at the calling. Take a look at the fruit. And you'll know what's going on. Don't be puffed up. Not against one another, not against the Lord's men. For who maketh thee to differ, verse 7, from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? He said, I received this of the Lord, to be an apostle, to have this calling, to be saved and called, and to do this work. Now if thou didst receive it, what dost thou glory? As if thou hast not received it. He said, I'm not going to brag on myself. I'm just going to do the work that I've been called to do. And you need to not brag on yourself, but just work in the work that the Lord's given you to do. Now you are full, verse 8. Now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us. Evidently there's been a great, even maybe financial blessing upon them. Maybe there at Corinth they've been... There's been a blessing of less persecution upon them in other cities. There's maybe been bounty that's there. There's been many added to the church. He says, now you are full and now you are rich and you have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God that you did reign. He said, I'm thankful for the blessing of the Lord upon you that we might also reign with you. So there's a blessing there, and it seems like they're taking that blessing and they're getting all puffed up. And so we needed you, Paul, when you came and you preached the gospel to us. But there's some there that seemingly are saying, we don't need you anymore. And they're puffed up in the blessing of the Lord. You know, when the Lord blesses us at Olmsted Baptist Church, we need to be thankful for it. When the Lord blesses us, we need to be thankful for it, and we need to use it for the furtherance of the kingdom. Amen? And not to think that we've arrived, or because we're better than other brothers and sisters in some places, that you know, we're just in more favor than others are before the Lord. No, what we've got, we've received just like any other. Amen. May we rejoice in the Lord in it, and may we praise God in it. May we use it for the furtherance of the kingdom, and may we not let it go to our heads. What if it would be in the next year that the Lord would add 50 people to Olmsted Baptist Church? Are you and I going to get all puffed up and proud about our great witness for the Lord? We need to be thankful, don't we? And we need to work. You know, if that would happen here at Olmsted Baptist Church, if the Lord would add so many people, we who are here need to be busy about teaching them. Because we'll have our hands full in teaching that many people. Amen? That's right. That's right. And would it be because of our big showing as the Lord's people and the Lord's church? No, it would be the blessing of the Lord, and we need to remember that. Amen. And the same word that we try to abide in and follow now need to be the same thing that we need to follow and abide in then. Amen? And so he goes on here. He said, I'm glad that you're full. I'm glad that you've reigned as kings without us, in his absence. And listen to what he says here. Here's what's happened. For I think that God hath set forth us apostles last, as it were appointed to death. He says, I believe that what the Lord has done is he's taken that first leadership in the church, and he's made us and caused us to bear the brunt of the affliction, the persecution, and that leading edge of the furtherance of the church and the growing of the church and the salvation of sinners, that first leadership, the apostles, have been there to bear the heat for the sake of others. Amen. For the sake of others. I ask you this morning, how would it be if it were not for the apostles? from the human standpoint, where would we be today if it wasn't for the Lord's use of those men? He took those men's lives, 13 men, and used their lives to bring us what we enjoy so freely and so blessed and so easily today. Where would we be? He said, "For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death." They were first, were they not, in the leadership? But in regards to the consideration of the world on them, they were brought all the way to the last. They bore the heat. They bore the shock. They bore the erosion of the onslaught of the world. Satan knows if he can take on the leadership and bring down the leadership, that he'll compromise those that follow, right? He knows that. And no doubt there would be affliction that would be brought in that way. "For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men." Can you imagine being one of 13 in the world? One of 13 in the world, appointed by God to be a witness of the resurrection of the Son of God. 13 in the world. And they gave it all for the Lord. "For we are fools," verse 10, "for Christ's sake. But ye are wise in Christ." The way that it is there, being on the leading edge, coming into Corinth, proclaiming the gospel amongst a bunch of pagans. They were considered as some quacks and weirdos, and these men that promoted new doctrine. Remember how it was in Athens? "What will this babbler say?" Right? Isn't that what they said about Paul on Mars Hill? They bore the brunt. But then after those, there were those that were saved. Oh, they were blessed. They had a blessing, didn't they? There were others that would come to Christ, and the church there established in Athens. And in that part, and other parts of that continent or that nation of Greece. "For we are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong." And the church here at Corinth has said as much. It said, man, when he writes, he's powerful. He's got a lot of punch when he writes. I mean, he writes with authority, with zip, and boy, you gotta listen to what he says. But then when he's present amongst us, he's contemptible. And that problem that he has, maybe with his vision, made the Apostle Paul's countenance seem strange. And when he's in their presence and all the beatings and all the things that he endured and the sickness and affliction and all that, maybe even appeared physically to be a weak man. And some of them were in a quandary about that. They looked on the physical rather than looked on the spiritual. And we need to always consider the spiritual, don't we? "We are weak, but you are strong." They are maybe blessed there in Corinth to have a great witness, and maybe other folks are saved. "Ye are honorable, but we are despised." Verse 11, "Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place." But you all got so much food that you come together and eat and have supper one before the other, and you're calling it the Lord's Supper and you're just having a good old time. And we're over here where we are wondering where the next meal is going to come from. Why? For the sake of the saints. For the sake of the people of God. For the sake of those in the places where the gospel has not been declared, that it would be declared by us, by the directive of the Lord, that they might be saved and added to the kingdom of God too. Amen? See that? "We in labor," verse 12, "working with our own hands." He did. "Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it." Their feet are beautiful because they carry the gospel of peace, Paul and his troop. But then the world, in its wickedness and its depravity, looks on at them as just being in the way. Being in the way. But when saints are saved, when churches are established, and saints are added to those churches, boy, there's blessing in life indeed. But it would not have been if it wasn't for the trailblazing, if you would, of the apostles. That's the way the Lord designed it. They were on that leading edge, taking the heat. Being defamed, we entreat. Rather than reviling for that defamation, he would yet entreat that sinners would believe and hear the Lord. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Verse 14, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved, I warn you. Said, I'm not looking to make you feel bad or feel sorry, make you feel sorry for us. I'm working and pursuing and going in the calling of God upon me. This is what I've been called into. This is my pilgrimage. Remember what the Lord Jesus said? He said, those that will not take up their cross daily and follow him are not worthy of him. This is my cross to bear. I'm not jealous of you, Church at Corinth. I'm not telling you this to make you feel bad. But I do want you to be warned. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, here it is, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Follower of Paul. What did Paul do? He followed the Lord Jesus, didn't he? Follow the Lord Jesus like I follow the Lord Jesus. Submit to him. Be willing to use your life up for the sake of the kingdom. Be willing to use up the blessings of the Lord upon you for the sake of the kingdom. Be willing to submit to the Lord. Enjoy his blessings. Seek his face in temptation and trial. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. The Apostle Paul had endured and been through so much, even at this point, that he could have just balled up, went off in a corner somewhere, and given up, couldn't he? But did he? No, he didn't. He was yet in another place, zealous of these people in this church, desiring to help them. Don't use the blessings that the Lord has given you and your reigning as kings and the blessings of the Lord that have been great. Don't use those to fulfill the lusts of the flesh, but use them yet for the furtherance of the kingdom. It's not wrong to have things. It's not wrong for us to enjoy ourselves. But it's wrong for our life to be about enjoying ourselves and about things.
Right.
It's a fine line. It's a fine line sometimes. But we need to always serve the Lord. For this cause, let's read this again. I just want to read this part. Verse 9, for I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong because of them. Ye are honorable, but we are despised because they bore the heat. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. But you enjoy those things that you do because of the blessing of the Lord. Because we brought the gospel unto you, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. Listen to your Father in Christ. For in Christ Jesus have I begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I beseech you, be followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. He said, I'm going to send Timothy to you. And he's going to give of his life. And he's going to give of his time to come there and help you, because that's the calling of the Lord upon him. And he's going to give of himself and give of his life by the calling and for the sake of Christ, that you might benefit the Church of Corinth. He says here, now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you. Some are thinking, he's too sick. He's unable to come here. He won't be able to make it. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know. Not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. He said, if I have to come to you, and these that are puffed up, we won't be dealing with what their talk is, but we'll be dealing with what the Word of God says and the power behind their words, whether it be of the Lord or not. Now you judge, he says. Do I speak the word of the Lord, or do they? For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Indeed, when it gets down to it, talk's cheap. But the spirit of is the spirit of the Lord there in that word. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod for chastisement, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness? Here we see how the apostle mentions and tells this church that the apostles and the minister of the Lord are used up for our sakes. Praise the Lord that the apostle Paul was willing to give fully of himself. It's by this man, and we do not and are not to worship him. There are some that would take up to do so. We worship Christ, but we praise God for his working and use of this man, and for this man in being willing and submitting fully to give his life for the sake of the people of God, for the sake of the ministry and calling of the Lord. And from his ministry, what do we have in that Bible? In that New Testament Bible, we've got writings from the apostle. Can you think of it? From Romans, 2 Thessalonians. That's a big chunk of that New Testament, isn't it? And where would we be if this man hadn't given of himself for the calling and the sake of the Lord? The Lord called him. The Lord worked him mightily. And he did submit to it. Used up. Used up for the service of the Lord. Used up for our sakes. We've got some that we could read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're not going to say, not for the sake of time, look at that. I encourage you to read that chapter. There's part of that chapter that would coincide with this and tell about the apostles. We want to close here in Hebrews chapter 3. I mentioned this morning. And the example to the apostle Paul, the example to the other apostles, the example to us, is that example of the apostle. The apostle. Remember what we said this morning. An apostle is an ambassador, a delegate, or ambassador of the gospel. A commissioner. One sent to do a work. One sent to do a duty. One that is a messenger that indeed has been sent. And in this case, sent of the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Have you? Are you a partaker of the heavenly calling? Consider. That word consider means to observe fully, to behold, to discover, to perceive. It'll do our souls well to just sit down by ourselves and think about our Lord Jesus, and think about what he laid aside and what he came and did and endured for us. It'd do us well to just sit down by ourselves, us and the Lord, and think about what the Lord Jesus prepared and what he built and what he's provided and what he's promised and what he will do for his people. It'll do us well just to sit down and be still with the Lord and think about what Jesus has done for us. Consider
who? Consider what? Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. He was sent. He was sent. And he obeyed. And the scripture says that he poured out his soul unto death for the likes of me and you. That he gave himself fully for his church. Amen? And that he loves his church. And he wants his church and seeks and works and desires that his church be pure. That his church be dedicated. That his church be, and his people there within. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the church. We're not talking about the building. We're talking about Olmsted Baptist Church, where you and I are members. That he did that for us, and he desires and instructs us that we might be dedicated and sold out and poured out for him. May God help us. The apostles look to the Savior. We look to the apostles. We look to the Savior. Because he is the example. He was sent and he poured out and was used up for our sakes. There's a song, and is written by a man by the name of Don Reed. And I'm not going to sing it, but I'm going to read you the words, okay? Because I want you to read it, and I want you to think about this. I think that this song is just really, really good in its content. I just want you to listen to the words. Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and Philip, Thomas, Matthew, Bartholomew, and Simon, Judas, James, and John. Andrew, go and tell your brother Peter to come a-running. Tell him that the one he's waiting for is waiting for him. The two he calls the sons of thunder quit their jobs this morning. And for eternal revenue, Matthew is cashing in. They gave up what they wanted to do. And they followed the Lord and what he called them to do. Philip, tell Bartholomew there's something good from Nazareth. They've never met, but Jesus seems to know him through and through. And Thomas, he'll go with you, don't you doubt it, for a minute. James the less and Judas and the zealot Simon too. Simon Peter, Andrew, James Philip, Thomas, Matthew Bartholomew, Simon Judas, James and John. Traveling around from town to town, preaching gets expensive. So they took along some women who took along some wealth. There were some women that of their wealth ministered to the Lord and ministered to his needs and such as that. The scripture, the gospels bear that out. And the 12th one was chose to be their trusted treasurer. Would you believe Judas Iscariot himself? Next Sunday morning, when your mind starts to wander, and that pulpit prayer gets long and you start thinking about yourself, ask in heart if you would part with family, friends, and money and leave it all for Jesus like the brave apostles 12. Peter, Andrew, James, and Philip, Thomas, Simon, Matthew, Bartholomew, and Judas, James, and John, and you. May the Lord help us as we consider the ministry of the apostles, that they were poured out, that they were used up, even for our sakes here in 2013. We've got connection straight back to them and through them and in them. They are the foundation of the church and the word, the doctrine that we've received of the Lord and how we're to operate and what we're to pursue in the Lord's church. Amen. Jesus Christ, he's the head. He's the chief cornerstone. It's all his great design.